Podcast.
Welcome back to Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. This is Lewis.
This is Dennis.
This is Harold.
All right, so we are continuing our two-part series on the best of the decade today. Last week, we started off with our choices for the best TV shows, as well as some of Harold and mine's favorite wrestling matches. This week on today's brand new podcast, we're going to do a deep dive on our favorite movies from the 2010s, as well as video games and comic books. So I think it'll be a pretty interesting look into what we've been consuming for the last 10 years.
You said movies, right?
Yeah, I said movies.
Okay, that's my intention.
Movies, comic books, and video games. But before we get into that, we are going to go into our fun little, my favorite section, a little potpourri into what we're into this week, or what kind of fun news is out there that we want to talk about. Dennis, did you want to take over for this one real quick?
Yeah.
Don't sound so defeated already.
Last week, the Crisis on Infinite Earth finished, and it was the crossover series for 2019-2020 for the CW series, and it marked a really important milestone where this was the swan song for Arrow, the cornerstone of the CW series. And then all of a sudden now you have all the other CW characters, such as Black Lightning, mm-hmm. You have the Legends, you have Batman, you have Supergirl and the Flash. People, they are now actually in one universe.
Yeah.
Now, that was, if you knew anything about Crisis, that wasn't really going to be a spoiler. You knew for a fact that that was eventually going to happen, and you knew that this was going to be what happened. The potpourri that I wanted to talk about was the middle part of episode four was Arrow, and the picture of the scene. Barry and the Paragons, that's what they're calling all these people, had to travel into the Speed Force. And he arrives there, and Barry is confused. He doesn't know what's going on. He needs to figure out what's happening. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, we see another Flash. Now, this is not unusual for the CW, because we have seen the Jay Garrick mm-hmm. Flash. We have seen the 1980s Flash appear, and it's every single time I see it, I always squeal in delight, because John Wesley Shipp is the man.
Oh yeah,
even though he is old, that's what I want to look like when I'm old. Hell, that's what I want to look like right now.
That's what I was gonna say, dude.
Wait, he's not Dr. Cox though, right?
No, he is not.
Does he not bear a great resemblance to Dr. Cox?
He does. That's why I respect him so much. No, but that's the one thing, though. I said, oh, my God. And then all of a sudden, this Flash starts talking. And I got to tell you, my blood starts boiling. And my wife is sitting next to me. And she asks, is that? And I go, yes. That's Ezra Miller.
You got so triggered.
Ezra Miller, complete with his Flash armor, is there. And first and foremost, it was cool to see. Like, As a superhero fan, as a DCU or DCEU, whatever we want to call it, even though it has failed miserably, I'm still supportive of that idea. I still want it to happen. And I was excited to see that, yes, they're finally admitting, they're finally showing that the DCEU is in some way connected to this universe. That was the cool thing. I was like, for the love of God, couldn't you have brought in like Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern, or something like that? Because
Gal Gadot
something, and the scene
of all the characters,
the scene in particular, it's the Flash And as usual, the Flash has no idea what the hell he's doing. Like, he's the stupidest Flash ever. He's like, oh, what am I doing here? It's like Scooby-Doo, you know, in a Flash suit. And so, like, there's this one scene, which is supposed to be cute, where, you know, Barry Allen kind of touches, like starts looking, they look at each other's suits and everything, and they, and, you know, Grant Gustin's Flash goes, oh, that looks cool. And then, of course, being Ezra Miller, I had to go, oh, that's so smooth and soft. Like, come on, dude. You're supposed to be Barry Allen. You know, like, it's like if Bill and Ted was able to have a super suit. That's who Ezra Miller is to me. And so, F you, Ezra Miller.
In conclusion,
there's going to be a second part to the trial.
Ezra Miller
versus the fanboys will occur eventually, especially if that damn movie ever comes out.
Yeah, if I'm going to be the public defender for Ezra Miller, I'll have no chance.
I don't think anybody would.
I know what you're saying.
So,
like, plead insanity.
Aren't they starting a Green Lantern TV series?
They supposedly are, but surprisingly, they didn't feature it. Now, they did show, and I don't know if this is spoilers, but it's confusing. So they said that there's Earth Prime, and which is what in the comic book world, that's what we talk about, like the Prime universe. So Earth Prime's there, but then before they talk about Earth Prime, they showed all these different Earths. And what was cool about it is they showed the different characters from different Earths. So you have Doom Patrol there.
Yeah.
You have the Titans there. You have, and then all of a sudden, as Lewis kind of mentioned last season, you have Stargirl there. But one of the things that kind of confused me was another Earth popped up, and it was the Green Lantern battery. And I was standing there going, is that Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern battery, like Oa, or is this, you know, is this what they're alluding to? So supposedly there is, but still there's no like definitive answer yet.
So there's a potential to have a TV show with both Brendan Fraser and Ryan Reynolds on it?
Yes.
I'm down.
Yeah, you're there.
Encino Man versus Van Wilder.
Exactly.
DC's amazing. That's crazy to me though, because you know, with Arrow ending, you think that CW would kind of minimize their slate, but they're going all in even further. Because yeah, you're Stargirl, Superman,
and Lois.
Yeah, Lois.
And Lois Lane as well. Lewis.
And Lewis. Wrong fan fiction, bro.
You should have seen Lewis like perk up. Ooh.
Oh, I'm in it?
Oh, Henry Cable. Hello. Oh, that guy.
It's the infinite, the crisis guy.
It's
right?
The crisis version, though. Yeah, it's not. It's I can't remember his name, but it's not the DC Justice League version. So yeah, I'm sorry you have to go through that ending, because I know that. Yeah, you're right. Like if anybody read the comic book, they knew the crisis was going to end with one Prime universe, and the fact that before that, you know, Black Lightning was in a different world, and Supergirl was in another one, and Batwoman was in a third world. It didn't make a lot of sense, you know, for storytelling wise. So I'm glad they were able to figure out to put them all in one planet, or at least one reality. And yeah, so more Ezra Miller for your eyeballs.
So and spoiler, especially for you guys, everybody knew moving in that Oliver Queen was going to have to pass away.
Oh yeah,
because his series is ending. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they talked about that, and this was on the interwebs. They're like, we have to make sure that his departure is going to be meaningful, and so they did do that.
Okay.
In episode three.
Oh.
And then they brought him back.
Oh, I heard he does come back.
And then they kill him again. So the second time around is like, oh. It's kind of cheap. Okay.
All right.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So his tenure as the Spectre was not very long, or?
No.
Nope. Okay.
No. He's training for wrestling, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard, dude. Yes. So the actual actor...
I think he's wrestling at WrestleMania.
Is he really? He's not going to fight his buddy...
Cody?
Cody?
I don't know. I think it was for WWE.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. It's funny to me, though, because like when he did have that match with Cody like years ago, a couple years ago, on TV, he's huge. Like when you see him standing up next to Grant Gustin, who's not an out-of-shape guy, but, you know, Arrow is like the swole Batman dude. But then you stand him next to like...
Actual wrestlers.
Even, again, nothing against Cody Rhodes, because he would probably beat me with his, like, pinky. Next to Cody Rhodes, who's smaller than Batista's and your John Cena's, he was punier than those guys. So I was like, dude's a cruiserweight. I was like, wow. All right. Anyway.
Again, Grant Gustin is like, even though you're right, he's not fat or anything, but he's still very skinny, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a reason why they haven't given him a really skin tight outfit yet.
They haven't given him the John Wesley ship suit yet.
It's a little loose. Yeah. It's a little loose.
He's in joggers.
It's a jogging suit.
It's a leisure suit. He's our leisure flash.
I'm pretty sure that outfit is made out of velour. Yeah.
And it says Juicy on the back.
And his name is Grant Gustinian. Okay, that's some good stuff so far. Now we're going to be moving on to the meat and potatoes of our episode. Lewis, since you are an expert at meat and potatoes, do you want to remind us what we're doing?
Carb loading. So we're still continuing our list of the best of the decade. So for today's episode, we are going to be looking at the best of, or I should say the best, I'm sorry. Like you premised in the last episode, these are our favorites. So these aren't exactly your typical Oscar, Emmy winning whatevers, but these are just personal favorites of ours. So
because aside from my toes, we're not really Rotten Tomatoes, you know what I mean?
What?
I'm talking about it smells. Oh. No? Okay, cool.
Talking about toes. Okay, that's an extra tier on Patreon, by the way, if you want to see Dennis's toes. So, yeah, we're going to talk about
it. But if you want to smell it.
Yeah. Ooh, that's extra. It's really extra.
And if you want to taste it, that's a different podcast all in all.
That's on another Podbean. we're going to talk about our favorite movies of this last decade, as well as our favorite video games. Personally, like I said in our first part of this series, full disclosure, I have a lot of recency bias. So, you know, a lot of these movies might be from the last few years instead of from early on in the 2000s. But, you know, like I said, it's favorite. So that means it's near and dear to our hearts. So yeah, that's it.
So real quick, it's funny that you use the word again, recency bias, because ever since you said it, I've actually been hearing the word recency bias being used left and right. I was like, whoa, where did that come from?
Lewis is just hiding behind me. It's your recency bias.
Why did he sound like Mick from Rocky? Because
he's recency bias. I'm just letting you know, Rock.
That left hook of yours, recency bias.
You're telegraphing it. He's going to be aware of it. Why? Because of your recency bias. You keep showing the same punch. He just did it recently.
Okay, so before things devolve into something...
Before things get wacky.
Shout out to Michael.
I love you, Michael.
If you want to know that story, sign up for our Patreon.
Or be one of our friends.
Rather them sign up for Patreon.
That's true. Yeah, I'd sell Mike out for that story. Sorry, bro.
I guess I'll start. You know, and one of the first movies, you know, again, we use the idea of favorites. You know, and my thing for favorites is, what is it that, if I have an opportunity to watch, you know, what movie is it that if I see it on TV, I'm going to watch it over and over and over and over again. The first movie I want to talk about is, and Harold has made fun of me before for kind of talking about this movie, it is The Intern. I know. Even the second time around, it's still funny.
Owen Wilson, right?
Oh, The Internship, sorry. No, wait. No, that's The Internship. Yeah, no, which, by the way, I like that movie. That's still 2010, right?
Yeah. There you go. I'll mix the intern and the internship because recency bias. No, but so the intern is, you know, one of the plot points in, of that movie is the idea that Robert De Niro's character was retired, you know, and that's something that all of us, you know, especially when we have our parents will talk about how, you know, when we retire, that's the goal. Retirement is the goal. Well, in this movie, you know, the question is, well, now that I'm retired, now that most of my friends are gone, what do I do now? And this is where the whole plot point comes in, where this guy who's been a professional all his life finally finds some excitement in his life. And what's cool about it is that this relationship, a father-daughter relationship between the two characters, and every single time I watch it, I know what's going to happen. I know, you know, when the sad parts are going to be, and it's still something that I really look forward to watching. The chemistry between the leads, you know, there's a portion of it where they're on their way to, I think it's San Francisco, and they're on their way to San Francisco, and they're sitting there at a hotel, and they're talking to each other, and I was thinking to myself, are they gonna? Is it gonna be one of those movies where the old dude and the young girl's gonna get together?
Yikes.
And like, no, it's just really is a story of relationships, and I think that's the beauty of The Intern.
And yeah, it was. I liked it when Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn, The Internship.
No, well, The Internship is also good just because I have no idea. I love the scene where they're in the...
strip club?
No, well, that too. No, but for some reason, I really like the scene where they're in the pizza restaurant.
Oh, and he learns about how to make, like...
Yeah, that's a good sauce. And that was the first movie. He's like, oh my God, every single movie that that he's ever done, he's always like eating. You know, like, you know, there's always like some sort of like pizza reference to pizza, some sort of reference to eating. What's that other movie that he did where The Wedding Crashers, you know,
he's eating a lot there
too. Yeah, he's eating a lot too.
Crab cakes. So.
bring me some more of this.
No, I don't know why I'm bringing this up. Side note, just because we were talking about The Internship as a joke. But and we were recently talking about The Good Place, and you were like, hey, there's this one hot kind of Indian girl. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's from The Internship.
Oh, more reason for me to watch both.
Yeah.
You see that? I just grew... What's the line? I just grew my balls.
Oh, the Asian guy? the Filipino kid? I forgot his name already, but it's like super Filipino.
Super Filipino. Well, the fact that the mother goes, ay, nako. like, oh, man, come on, dude.
Is his name it's not Bing Bong. It's something like...
something racist.
It's something super Filipino, and you're like, that's a Filipino kid.
Okay, good job, Bing Bong. Let's go.
All right. So
to be fair, if I ever saw a Filipino named Bing Bong, I'd slap him in the face.
Jeez, dude.
Pretty sure we saw them rapping last
isn't there like a Ding Dong?
Like Ding Dong Riz.
Something like that, but not Bing Bong.
No, Ding Dong's like those the peanuts, right? Or the chips? Anyway. All right. So for my best of the decade.
Wait, what? Let's stop what we're talking about.
The Ding Dong chips, right? Or something like this.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like the peas, the peas and the... The cornets. Anyway, dude, come on, man. Stop staring at me like that. Don't make it weird. Not in front of him.
No. If I was like making kissy faces, then it would be weird.
Thanks, Mike.
You made it weird. Michael.
Oh, my Michael. So speaking of creepy, some of my favorite movies of the decade, I'm going to give some shout outs to some horror movies that I saw.
Horror
movies. Particularly Get Out and It Chapter 1. So those are like heavily influenced by Stephen King, but I mean obviously one was written by King himself, but you know both movies are psychological and in a sense very like creepy, well-made movies. It's like I'm not a big fan of like these gory movies or torture porn. I think that's this genre that Saw and Hostel are into, but like these two movies were very it's horror movies. I don't know if they're supposed to be intelligent per se, but you know, it had a lot of things to say about, you know, a little bit about social commentary, especially for the movie like Get Out And for it, you know, it talked a lot about, you know, how it is being a young person, being accepted and being in a, you know, growing up. And even though it was set in the 80s, or at least the kids are supposed to be growing up in the 80s, a lot of the, you know, excuse me, a lot of the trials, a lot of the tribulations are very relevant to you know, what, how young people are dealing with today. You know, and like I said, just really well made. I mean, I'm not a horror fan by any measure, but, you know, I saw these on HBO, horror movies. But like I said, you know, that's the beauty of having stuff streaming nowadays, is that you're able to watch even these scary movies in the comfort of your own home. When I personally watch these movies with the lights on, and, you know, when my dog next to me, just to make sure that nothing creepy happens. And like, what is a 10-pound pug really going to do if anybody was to attack me? But at least the thought was there. So yeah, two of my favorite movies of the decade, Get Out and It Chapter 1. I still haven't seen Chapter 2. Unfortunately, I'm not hearing a lot of great things on it. Might have to wait until it's like on HBO or somewhere free.
It is on HBO.
It's already on? Okay, so no, maybe I'm just kidding, I don't know. Never mind then. Jeez, man.
Jeez, man. Speaking of Bing Bong, my first set of, I was gonna pick
just, oh, you're one. Not going there, are you?
Yes, I am. No. Oh. No, I'm gonna change it up a little bit. For me, the 2010s has been a great Pixar movie
decade. I know that's what I meant. I did.
Oh. Yeah, that's why. Bing Bong, he's Filipino.
Bing Bong. Oh, no,
he's the problem China.
No, if it's Bing Bong, it's not. But if you say Bing Bong, then automatically Filipino.
Except if there's an umlaut on the O.
Yeah. But umlaut. My favorite jam. I'm gonna, like Lewis, I'm kind of gonna lump these together because I couldn't decide which of them.
It's our show. We can do whatever the heck we want.
But the ones from the past decade that I really loved, first being Inside Out, like we mentioned, just because a completely different story from most Pixar films that you're used to. And having a lot of big comedians being the voices and actually getting to be the actors was such a great move for them to do for once. And it tugs at your heartstrings, that at the same time, you know, you people get to learn a little bit more about the intermachinations of the human body and or mind.
Are you saying that's like biologically accurate?
Yeah, super. If you didn't know, Lewis Black is who's telling you.
Not really. There's like a control room in your head.
And Bill Hader's there. The other one, I think I mentioned before, I love the movie Coco.
God, dude.
Just because, you know, the...
Can I love everything up until like the last 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, no, wait. You love everything except?
Yeah.
But that's like the best part. Yeah, I know.
The best and the worst part of that movie.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
That movie gets me every... Like, you know how the big running joke had been La Bamba?
You're running
joke. Coco is my new La Bamba. So I don't know. Maybe I'm Hispanic.
We
do relate a lot to the Hispanic people because, you know, obviously.
Just because Richie Valens Park is like right behind your house.
Yeah. No,
your papa loved you, Grandma Coco.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
When she starts singing, and she's like, "What are you doing?
Oh, God.
Why are you crying, Mija?
Stupid mom." Enrique is just the worst, though, right? Yeah. For sure. Okay.
Real quick. Yeah. I kind of disagree with you, Inside Out. Just because it doesn't fit my criteria. I've never watched Inside Out after the first movie because I can't take it. Like, I can't stand that movie. I can't watch it again for some reason. It's so emotionally draining for me.
Yeah, the very first time. It is one of those movies where you've ever seen Requiem for a Dream? It's just like that, except with heroin.
Which one had heroin?
That's up to you to decide.
No, the girl did go to San Francisco, so I don't know. But which one's Requiem?
It was
the one with heroin, it turns out.
What's his name? Jared Leto.
Oh, I get Jared Leto and Jalen Hall mixed up all the time. Wayne.
And Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Connelly doing as the is A2A. But the one that I'm picking for my list is going to be Toy Story 3. Started out the decade.
Boo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm with Harold on this one.
Yeah. With Harold or with Dennis?
With you.
Okay.
Cool. I like it better than 4.
Oh, yeah. It's much better than 4, and it's much better than 2. and it's much better than two. I liked four better than three.
Really?
Yeah, we talked about this. He thought it was a better ending for the series. I thought it was
fine. It's not like we have a podcast where we talk about all these things.
No, but I mean, you know, four. It's okay.
I was like, so, yeah.
But with Toy Story 3, I guess the emotion, now the emotional ending for Toy Story 3 doesn't hit as hard now that there has been a sequel to it. But, you know, just keeping it.
But that was the thing, though. The one problem I had with Toy Story 3, it was going to be a cycle. Eventually, that girl was going to give them up. Finally, you know, in this story, like even after the fourth story, eventually Buzz and Jesse and all those things will be somewhere in the attic. You at least have, you know.
You're assuming things, though.
What?
Because what if she's just one of those girls who keeps toys like some people do? I'm not going to name names, but it's probably me.
I was going to say, well, you know, right behind you is Dennis's Gundam collection.
And look how sad Gundam is. Look, he has a gun, but his head is like tilted down for some reason.
He's ashamed to be in here. He's
like, oh. He hasn't played with me, Dennis. He hasn't looked at me in decades. He only comes down here to record.
The feeling's not the same as when we first started. I'm talking about the toys.
Okay, just chugging. I want to make sure.
But Toy Story 3 for me, I remember watching it for the first time in theaters, and I was devastated by that. The fake out ending where you think they're all going to die, which.
Would have been awesome.
Which would have been both the best and the worst ending. Because, man, if they had gone out like that, just killed everybody.
So imagine, picture this. It happened, right? And then, it blackout and a cutscene. And you have another little kid who's like, oh, you know, it's Christmas. And they open, it's another Buzz Lightyear. And then to infinity and beyond, and then blackout. That's the end of the movie.
I thought you were going to say, what if they go to the very end where all the melted toys are like created into one toy, so it's all like... Like an arm sticking out.
You have Woody, like a Buzz's like eye just sticking out.
Yes.
Like a sentient blob of this plastic.
There's like a tail.
And then somebody pulls it. I've got a rattlesnake in my boot.
You got a friend in me. Jesus, dude. And it turns out Twilight Zone episode.
See? I'm telling you. We write great stuff.
I know. Call us Jordan Peele. We know you need new episodes for Twilight Zone. We got you.
The next one is, you know, Lewis at one point kind of talked about his love for Scientology. And
jeez, what? Shout out to our Scientology listeners on Melrose and Hollywood.
Well, they're on Magnolia, aren't they?
Are they really?
Oh, yeah, the new one's on. And is it Magnolia?
I think
Burbank.
Is it Burbank? Okay.
Yikes. Yeah.
Okay. So they're getting closer.
It's giant.
Yikes, next thing you know, they're going to be in Panorama City.
No, there's too many Filipinos here.
They're buying that building next to your house, dude.
It's called Scientology. No, but the movie I kind of want to talk about was a movie called Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow really took me by surprise. You know, I'm a huge, kind of like Lewis, I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan and Scientology fan. You know, the fact that you have Tom Cruise, and what made it even better was, you know, first off, it's Tom Cruise. Secondly, it's action. But all of a sudden, three, you do like a video game treatment to, you know, it basically is an RPG, you know, in a really messed up way where, you know, you play, you die, it's game over. Well, let's go back. Let's figure out what it is that you have to redo. And then with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt, I thought the action sequences was really good. And it was cool that it just wasn't like, you know, hurrah, we're gonna win. But the fact that eventually it reminded me of another one of my favorite movies, Groundhog Day, where eventually immortality was too taxing, and so he was like already ready to give up. And no matter what, he still couldn't, you know, he still couldn't die. So it's one of those movies where really violent. That's why I can't let every time my daughter's here, she can't watch it. But I still love watching that show. You know, to the point where
I know Edge of Tomorrow 2 is coming out either this year or next year, I forget. But I don't know how they're going to be able to compete with the premise.
Who's going to get spewed on by the alien this time, I guess? Tom Cruise again, or I don't know.
I think that's a different movie you're thinking of.
Have you heard what they're calling it?
What?
The Edge of Tomorrow?
I hate it. Sorry, Hollywood. Not all ideas are gold.
you know they're gonna.
Jordan Peele just like stopped listening.
He was about to call us.
He's like, nope. Like one bad pun. Nope. Sorry, bro.
I'd love to see the infographic. Thanks for bringing up Groundhog Day, because like I think I saw it was Cracked or one of those websites did like an infographic of like how many actual days did Bill Murray repeat to get all those skills. I'd love to know if somebody did an infographic of like how many days or how many times did Tom Cruise die to get as far as he did for all these for all of these.
I found out.
No, he didn't.
Five.
I hate you.
Two.
It was the second day was really good.
Tomorrow. Oh my God, that's the Edge of Tomorrow sequel. Annie? It's Daddy Warbucks. And his trusted assistant, but we can't call him that name anymore because it's really racist. It's
inappropriate now.
Apu?
Oh, that's going to be potpourri for another time because something going on.
We can talk about that next time.
All right, so for me, we're going to stay on the Tom Cruise boat, and I'm going to give a shout out to...
excuse me, there's never been a movie where Tom Cruise is in a boat.
Except for Hunt for Red October.
That's true. Are submarines boats?
Wait, he was in Hunt for Red October?
Yeah, remember he played Sean Connery?
He had a Russian accent. Yeah.
Sean Connery didn't have a Russian accent.
Didn't even try. Yeah,
that's true. what's the name of the Red October?
What's the name of the submarine? The Red October.
Red October.
Well, they did the thing. I'm glad. So. For me,
real quick, did I tell you when I was younger, I watched that movie. I was so obsessed with that movie that I tried to develop a caterpillar drift.
A what?
That's the name of the engine
that powers
the whole thing.
I saw that once, but you obviously watch it more than I did.
slightly more.
I remember that you have to have those at the back. There has to be those. Like vents so that the water can come out.
Yes,
you
know. In order to prove
it's out. What does that sound? It sounds like a biologic.
was that actual dialogue? I gotta see this now.
Sure.
So yeah, for me, it's
turns out it was whales humping. That was the biologic,
or humpback whales.
It became Star Trek.
Wait a second. Fan fiction comes to fruition.
Oh, wow. For me, Mission Impossible, the series continues. It's still got legs, even though the first movie came out in the 90s. The 2010s had both Rogue Nation and Fallout, both really great action movies. Excuse me. They're not the best per se, but like we said at the beginning, these are some of our favorites. And, you know, there's just something still catchy about that Mission Impossible theme song, not to mention watching Tom Cruise, you know, run his little legs off. And, you know, the plot does seem a little contrived to almost to the point where it's like some of these are. Excuse me, are cliched, but you know, like I said, they're just fun action movies that for 2 hours you can just watch the action unfold. It's good, you know, a good amount of actual action, CGI, explosions, shooting stuff, and all that good stuff. Highly recommended. So if you haven't had a chance, you know, the movies are out there streaming. So the two of my favorite Mission Possibles came from the last decade.
Yeah, my favorite those two movies is Ving Rhames just sitting down.
Get the biggest dude.
What is he doing? He's sitting down on a computer. What is he doing next? Sitting down writing next to Jeremy Renner.
Now he's pensively looking at the screen. Oh, oh no.
What's the other guy do? Well, Simon Pegg is just acting really frantic. Oh, I don't know what
British.
I'm doing.
I'm British.
I'm acting like C-3PO.
Looks just like him.
Don't pull the curtain on me, man. Come on, dude.
just ruin the whole storyline for every future Mission Impossible. Exactly. Dennis is going to be like, David Dennis is ready. They're not even trying anymore.
I'm really looking forward to the next Mission Impossible movie because I'm pretty sure that's how Tom Cruise is going to die.
Some stunt is going to go wrong, dude.
Don't you figure after this many times that the missions are actually possible?
Turns out mission kind of doable.
Yeah. Mission maybe a little difficult.
Mission like 6 out of 10. You know? We can do it.
At this point, if somebody offered him, okay, now you are the head of the MIF. No.
Yeah.
Every single time somebody gets appointed head, they die.
That's true. You're right. They've gone to like 4.
Yeah. I'm like trying to think about all the Mission Impossible movies, and I'm like, I know they're good, but yeah, they literally keep jumbling in my head. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, what's happening now? Well, Tom Cruise wanted to do something that can kill himself. He jumped, a million miles from the air.
And he ran a couple thousand.
He ran up the side of this building.
They're like the Minister of Dark Arts in the Harry Potter movies. Like, they all die. All the directors of the IMF just die or are the bad guys. So it's like, it's a bad job to get.
Like, yeah, you don't want to get it promoted in that.
Exactly. Maybe no, I'm good. Like, I'm a state analyst.
Thanks, but no thanks. That's why Ving Rhames doesn't work as hard. Because he knows he's next
in line.
I thought
it was just because he was a government guy. He was like, I can do more, but, you know. It's in our union. It's like, just chill, do enough.
Tom Cruise tells Simon Pegg, hey, you got promoted. I'm British.
Can I translate this in language?
You guys are missing that Lewis and Dennis have both been trying to do the robot while doing that impression.
That's our C-3PO.
No,
imitation.
My next movie is actually a movie that I did not expect to really love or even like, but I ended up it being one of those movies that every time it plays, I have to watch it. The movie's called The Muppets. It is not the Muppet movie or anything else.
Is that with what's his name?
With Jason Segel.
Dude, I like that movie.
Oh, dude, I love that movie. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, because as a child, you know, you grow up and you're like, you're introduced to the Muppets and Sesame Street and all those kind of characters early on in your life, at least. Here in America, I was, and sorry guys, but the more that they started making the other movies, you were like, okay, there's a Muppet movie. You just don't want to actively go out and watch them anymore. They're just going to be family fare. This movie was kind of the opposite of it, where they took a lot of adult jokes and great new songs coming from Jason Segel and actually one of the guys from Flight of the Conchords, and they created like a brand new kind of Muppet movie where it was like a great parody. They have Miss Piggy playing, you know, Miranda Priestly from The Devil Wears Prada, and you have Kermit in them. They do this great search for all the Muppets, and one of my favorite jokes is so they do this whole thing where they do a montage to go pick up all the new Muppets.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, Rolf goes, oh, how come you didn't show when you guys found me? And then they literally cut to him like sitting in a hammock. They're like, hey, Rolf, you want to be part of our thing? And he's like, okay. I was like, damn it. Why must that be so good? The songs are super catchy. They do, of course, a great version of Rainbow Connection. And the cameos that they had, including Jack Black playing Jack Black, super fantastic. I literally, anytime that movie is on, I have to keep watching it. And sometimes in my car, I end up singing the Am I a Man or Am I a Muppet to myself to prove that I'm actually a man and not a Muppet.
Not a Muppet. No, it's interesting that Jason Segel really hasn't been, like, had a lot of, like, roles lately. Considering that his family is, like, really famous. I mean, one of his uncles is an action star movie, and another one is a writer.
Not Steven Seagal, damn it.
What's the name of the writer, Dino?
Is it Peter Siegel?
No, it's Jonathan Livingston Siegel.
But I like Steven Seagal.
But you know who... I hate you. I was gonna do another bad one and be like, but you know what his favorite animal is?
Huh.
It's a bird.
What is it?
A flying spiegel? What? Or I don't know.
Again, what's the most obvious answer?
A bald spiegel?
But that's the thing. If you're gonna say, I'm gonna say seagull, and you're gonna be like, no, a dog. That's how the joke works.
That's how we work. I was like, no, a Muppet. But have you seen the Muppets?
Yeah,
dude, that movie. And then that's why I was kind of disappointed when they did the sequel, and they had like Tina Fey and all these big actors, and it just wasn't as funny. But I think it's because of having Brett McKenzie, one of the Flight of the Conchords, and Jason Segel working together, were two comedic geniuses working, and it was that was one of the nicest things about having Disney Plus on there. It's on Disney Plus.
My next one is, we try not to lump these things together, but I think we kind of need to lump them together, considering just the quality of work that it's been done. There were two trilogies that I think was really significant during the 2010s. One is Star Wars, but since we pretty much talk about Star Wars every other episode,
yep,
I decided not to go for it. The main trilogy that the second trilogy I kind of want to talk about was John Wick.
Yeah.
You know, John Wick, really, really cool concept. I remember when I first heard about it, and I was one of those people that unfortunately didn't get to see the first movie. I honestly didn't hear about it. Like, was there a lot of commercials for it?
You know how there, in like the early or the mid 2000s, 2010s, Keanu Reeves made a bunch of movies that nobody'd watched.
Yeah, yeah, like okay. A number of Ronin.
I'm gonna let you figure that number out.
Yeah, I'll get back to you.
I actually like that movie, by the way.
Tai Chi Master.
I didn't know he was a Tai Chi Master.
Yeah,
he was the bad guy.
I didn't know there was a movie called Tai Chi Master.
He fights like this 5'5" springy dude.
Yeah, but he's Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, yes. No, but during the one time where I was kind of trying out like different martial arts and everything, and somebody was like, dude, you got to watch, John Wick. You know, I was like, sweet, you know, you'll figure out how you use knives and everything. And first time I watched, it was like, oh my God, they're just like killing each other. it was amazing. But it just so happened that the second one was coming out. And so when I watched the second one, that just made my passion for John Wick to even more. Considering that the first one was a great action movie, and then the second one, they kind of started utilizing the mythology. The idea that you have the Continental, the fact that you can just give a gold coin to anybody, mm-hmm, and pretty much you can get away with murder.
Literal
murder. Like, here you go, clean this up for me. Okay, one gold coin. But that was the thing, though. I never understood the currency because, like,
you don't know what services.
Well, remember, there's that one point where they have to bury he has to bury all the people in his house.
Yeah.
And there was I think there was eight bodies there, and so he goes, eight bodies, eight gold coins, John. He goes, gives over there, and then he goes to the concierge, and he goes, here, take care of my dog, and then gives him a gold coin. Wait a minute, taking care of dog. One dead body, same thing.
I know. He also got a bunch of guns for like a small stack of coins. So I was like, again, you're right. I don't know what the... Your brother's an economy major. Maybe he can figure it out. I don't know.
Like, although I really want to, just once, to be able to go to a hotel and... Could I see the sommelier?
And if they take you to a wine guy, it's like, this is disappointing.
I was here for guns. Excuse me.
I don't drink.
No, but like I remember that montage. It was like, you know, it was cool. The sommelier was there. The guy making the suits.
Yes, and yes.
The guy with the maps.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to keep on going back to that guy.
Just give him the key. Just give him the old keys, man. Just give it to him.
So yeah, and then with the third movie, John Wick 3, just recently, a year or two ago, so, that just came out, or a year, I think.
And yeah, then, just 2019, I think. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, and then so. The fourth one is pretty much coming out sometime soon.
Yeah,
you know, really excited considering that it is the, it was the decade of Keanu, yeah, you know, and we're continuing the Keanu watch forever and ever now.
There you go. So for me, for the next one, I'm going to change it up since we had some action. One of my favorite comedies of this last decade have to be Bridesmaids. One of those highly recommended, but you know, I didn't get a chance to see it right away. Some of the just the funniest, most inappropriate, raunchy jokes. You know, I know The Hangover gets a lot of love from dude bros who love these, yeah, junk jokes and stuff like that. But these ladies just brought all their good, like the guns, and just made such a memorable movie that, you know, almost every wedding, you know, these wonderful people have to do a bridesmaid's photo or do something like that. Or, you know, Wilson Phillips is probably getting a lot of residual checks from how much that their songs are getting played more recently. So yeah, it was such a great movie. It was a great introduction to a lot of the comedians that we know and love today, like Melissa McCarthy and all them other folks who, you know, they have their own brands now, and they have their own kinds of comedy. So yeah, Bridesmaids, definitely one of those great standout once in a few years kind of phenomenon. So yeah, one of my favorite comedies.
You know, did I ever tell you the story I have about watching Bridesmaids?
No, please.
One time for Thanksgiving, my family was like, let's watch a movie with the whole family to, you know, just relax and have a good laugh or whatever. And my cousin was like, yeah, let's go watch Bridesmaids. Do you remember the opening scene of Bridesmaids?
Oh, it's John Hamm going ham on...
I'm Kristen Wiig. Watch that movie with my family. And then we have a big family with children and old people. And my mom was like, oh my God.
This is only the first few minutes.
It's the opening minute. I wasn't watching with him. I was outside. But I saw through my cousin's window. I watched it. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I just heard all of them doing that. And I was cracking up. I could not stop laughing because it was so good. But yeah, it's a great movie. I enjoy it. Like you said, star Melissa McCarthy and everything. And obviously, SNL people. So,
yeah.
You know, always have and always will dig that stuff. My next movie is actually, I guess it's a continuation of one of our favorite franchises. It is a continuation. The movie is Creed.
Oh,
And the song is called Higher.
I would have gone with Eyes Wide Open, but I hate you.
Actually, it should have been
considering last week's episode. I'd be willing to play those songs, to be honest with you.
It should have been My Sacrifice because that's the wrestling song.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
But Creed. Do you remember when Keeb made that video?
No, I don't.
Remember? So we can talk about it later. That's another story for another time. Check out our Patreon. But Creed, the continuation of the story, or the actual beginning of the story of Adonis Creed, you know, trying to carry on his dad's legacy, Apollo Creed, and having to be trained by Rocky, and having Rocky take on that Mickey role was such a fun twist.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that was, and everyone keeps saying it, is the best acting performance that Sylvester Stallone has ever done.
Did he win, or at least
he was nominated for an Oscar? And then that was the breakout role for Michael B. Jordan, where if he gets this movie, he succeeds. That's how he gets Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah.
And then from everything else, you know, whatever going on with him now. But the first time
Creed 2.
Yeah, Creed 2. But he's the main character, and you actively see him learning how to become a boxer. And then the actual evidence and some of the fight sequences are just so fantastic. They're just different from the Rocky movies or from the Rocky series, but at the same time, a great continuation of stories of characters that we're both familiar with and new characters that you want to learn more about.
Yeah.
And you kind of hit a point for me. I remember watching it. I think I watched it with you.
You did.
We never watched anything with Lewis.
No.
But I remember watching it. It was great. But in the back of my mind, there was one thing that was bugging me. I was like, is that how boxing is supposed to be? Because
it's not one-sided punching.
I'm just so used to one side's going to punch and get beaten up, and then there's going to be a tide will turn, and then there'll be another punch. That's why I can never watch actual boxing. It's like they're just like jabbing.
You know, one of the techniques in boxing is not blocking the punches with your face. And that's what I learned from the Rocky series.
That was
so bad.
My last one that I kind of want to mention, I've been doing action movies, but I wanted to do one last action movie, but it was an action comedy that to this day I still think that is one of the best action comedies of 2010, and that's Spy. Spy is
still haven't seen it.
Still, it's a movie that Lewis has not watched yet. It is his new Three Amigos, to be honest with you. Well, it's a movie with Melissa McCarthy becoming a spy, where his partner Bradley Fine, which, by the way, best spy name, Fine, Bradley Fine. Like, yes, you are either a porn star. Or a spy. I'm not quite sure.
Played by who, and why is he so fine?
Crap, what is his name?
He was in every movie in the 90s and 2000s. I know. That was the running joke.
What is his name?
Right now
Jude Law, there you go. But the reason why Harold and I were talking about the reason why that movie's so great, aside from Melissa McCarthy, who I never really thought was funny until that movie. Like I she was okay. But her physical comedy in that show was amazing. Like, there's this running gag where, where she's given like an ID, and it's like the worst ID. Like, she's like, who wears reading glasses to a photo ID anyway? You know, it's just jokes like that, and you kind of just see her. And again, we talked about this when we talked about the TV show, where you have Nick Frost. Is it Nick Frost?
Yeah.
Nick Frost, like, big guy doing martial arts. You see Melissa McCarthy, or at least a double of Melissa McCarthy, do like insane moves. But of course, the best one is Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
Because he literally did all his jokes like that.
Well, he just got shot, and he shows up and with a new suit, and Melissa McCarthy goes, "Where'd you get that suit?" I wove it, and I
it's the most ridiculous premises, but it's... So we need to do the series of Lou watches.
I've broken all of my bones,
and I'm still able to walk. I drove myself to the hospital. I don't remember those exactly, but it's like
I'm immune to all poisons. you know how I did it? There was a poison, like, what's the name of that? Two rules of fight. Ah, crap! I ruined the joke already. crap! What is that name of the movie? Never mind.
What?
What is that? Fight Club. There you go. It's like a Fight Club, but poison. Jason Statham. You should always do comedy.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I guess for my last one too, I got a couple on my list, but I'm going to go with Snowpiercer. It is it's Piercer. Barely even knew her. It's a Chris Evans movie.
No, hold on. Can you do that joke again?
Which one?
Piercer. I barely even snow her.
That's only better. Jordan Peele is back on his own thing. Hold on. And now I'm back.
He stopped listening, by the way. Yeah.
He stopped listening, but he was like, wait. I feel something.
maybe he had some background noise.
I don't know. Okay, you guys can't see this, but Dennis, when Dennis just said, "I feel something," he did the felching thing. He went like...
Well, first and foremost, why do you know what felching is?
Because we talked about this in college, right?
Whoa, whoa.
Patreon.
talked about.
Patreon.
Sorry, tangent, but the Aaron Hernandez...
What?
No, because the Aaron
Hold on, I know.
Whoa.
Aaron Hernandez, right?
No, the Aaron Hernandez.
Is that the best movie? I don't want to see that movie.
I know the decade's only a year old, but man, good start. But anyway, it was a weird tangent about that documentary about Aaron Hernandez experiment in college. Anyway, Arizona's a weird place. Turns out.
So I guess I should watch his documentary. Yeah, dude.
For felching.
It ends badly for him.
For sure.
Spoilers. Spoiler alert. Sorry. But anyway, Snowpiercer starred Chris Evans. Chris Evans in a beard. It's directed by Boone. Oh, God. I've had 2 weeks to practice. Bong Joon-ho?
What'd you call me?
I don't want to enunciate the last part, but you know he's getting a lot of
people. Israel does not like what you just said.
Yeah, man. Sorry. Be sensitive.
I was born. Never mind. So you know,
see, by that guy,
born a Jew, you ho.
Sorry.
So anyway, Snowpiercer, really well made. You know, like I said, the director of Parasite, you know, did a really good job about a social commentary in the guise of a, you know, in a dystopian future where, you know, all these people are stuck on a train going around the world in a frozen wasteland. So it's a really well made movie. It's kind of depressing. It's a bit of a bummer, but like I said, it's just really well made, really good action. You know, Chris Evans obviously has made a name for himself as Captain America for the last, you know, 10, 15 years. But it shows the kind of range that he's capable of. You know, he's not just, he's kind of studly in this movie too, but, you know, he's able to convey a range of emotions. And, you know, I think they're actually making it a show on TNT or TBS or one of those Turner shows networks. But I'm looking forward to seeing how they can turn that into a series. But like I said, really well made, highly recommended, one of my favorites of the decade.
Okay, well, you know, one of these days we're actually going to be finishing this series of 2010, but I'm hoping by 2021 we're going to be done with talking about all the things, because unfortunately we are out of time.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, it turns out that there were a lot of good movies that we liked, and we liked talking too much, way too much.
Yes, okay. We like our Tom Cruise.
Scott Pilgrim.
Was that this decade too?
Okay, yeah. Fine. Let's talk about
it really quickly.
Yeah. No. We have to respect.
put some respect on his name.
Because you just talk about Chris Evans in a beard in a mustache.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And weird. Now we have Chris Evans in a beard
with some like really stubble. Fierce stubble. Some, like really fierce eyebrows.
But everybody, like we talked about this before, like how obviously Edgar Wright fanboy over here, but Scott Pilgrim we discussed at least
Scott Pilgrim is Edgar Wright?
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't know that. Wow, okay.
That's why he ended up doing... He was testing Ant-Man while he was doing Scott Pilgrim, and that's kind of the style he was going to do Ant-Man in.
Oh, I missed something. Yeah, dude.
But we had discussed this amongst each other before, where it's a comic book movie, a video game movie, and then kind of a musical. And those are... It's kind of our wheelhouse,
and
dude.
It's a rom-com, like, dude.
Yeah, and it has Ramona Flowers and Knives Chow. So, two of the hottest girls that, like, those are the, you know, the, what do you call them again? The pixie?
Manic pixie girl.
Manic pixie girls. Yeah. Like, Ramona Flowers is the quintessential manic pixie girl, literally. And we have Michael Cera doing his best Michael Cera impression. But at the
most Michael Cera.
He's ever been, but as an action star.
Yeah.
And with references to early 90s and late 80s video games, probably we talk about being favorites of the decade. That's probably one of my favorite movies of all time, just because how enjoyable it is. It's super rewatchable. You can jump into any of those scenes and be automatically entertained by anything that comes up afterwards.
It's interesting. I don't know if either of you have ever actually read the Scott Pilgrim comic books.
Only after the fact.
Yeah, but it's amazing how much, like, I think it's it has to win the best, like, comic book adaptation without it being a terrible thing. Like, I mean, you know, the Killing Joke or whatever that is with the one where Batgirl gets, like, shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they tried to do as much as possible, but it didn't work at all. But this one, you even have, like, certain, like, moments where, you know, like, at the very beginning where you see... where you see Scott Pilgrim's room, and then all of a sudden there's those, like, panels of, oh, this is his roommates,
yeah,
just stuff like that worked so well. And I remember thinking when I saw it, it's like, oh my god, they actually was able to get the elements that were hilarious about the movie into, or the book into the movie.
Yeah, and not to get too meta, but I think one of my favorite side-scrolling games was, you let us play Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the video game.
Oh yeah,
on the PS3 or PS4, whatever generation it was. So that's like, so it's a video game based on the movie, based on the comic book, which are an homage to video games.
Yeah.
So it's come full circle.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments from that funny, stupid movie has. There's so many moments in that movie I can't even. But I think one of my favorites is when Knives knocks on their door and says, "Hey, is Scott home?" And the roommate opens the door and, you know, kind of closes it a little bit so you can see it. But, and then you see Scott just jump out, yes, out the window. And at the same time, the roommate's saying, "Oh, he's not home." It's such an Edgar Wright move, right? Like,
I love, like, we talk about how much, you know, how we mentioned, I don't know if we mentioned before, but how many future stars end up in.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah.
And yes. My favorite one being Brie Larson. Just because, you know, she gets to be Envy Adams. She gets to sing that one of my favorite songs, Black Sheep. And then
that was a jam,
her
dude.
Whole scene is her, Aubrey Plaza, and Brandon Routh. And then it's like, well, Brandon Routh.
Yeah, he's hit and miss career, but, you know, he's lately
he's been on fire because, you know, he got to play two characters in,
yeah, the DC crossover.
Yeah. Right? And then, but you have Aubrey Plaza, who actually went on to do great things in, like, everything that she's done so far. So,
but yeah, then also a minor role, like a coffee shop girl.
Yes.
Anna Kendrick.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like,
Anna Kendrick.
Where, how do you do this?
Playing Scott's sister, and it's like, oh, doesn't get to sing or anything, but still being cute.
Yeah.
And her friends. It's just weird to me because, like, you have that movie, her and Aubrey Plaza in it, and then they end up being in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates together as, like, the two main character. That's another movie that's,
oh wow, okay,
pretty underrated too. But yeah, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, if you've never seen it, what is wrong with you?
Lewis, did you watch it?
I've seen it.
Okay.
I've seen it.
No matter, even if he hasn't seen it, we'll still watch it.
Yeah, so Lewis, we need to make it happen. Like, one time where you have 2 hours and we find it in a streaming device that Spy. You have to watch Spy.
Okay.
I was thinking we should do that series because I know you haven't also seen Clue yet, right?
No, I have not. I have not.
So we should do a day Lewis watches.
Okay. We'll make that into an episode.
And the last one will be Prawn.
Prawn? Oh.
Wow. Okay.
District 9?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
If District 9 had came out a year later.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Prawn was District 12?
Oh, what?
True.
What is it? Okay, I forget the district,
no,
man.
No, she's
gerrymandering.
She's the one that that Katniss had to save.
I hate you so much. Okay, no, thank you.
So you should. Well, okay, so have a series called Lewis Watches That, and then I'll have a series where I watch those YA movies that I've never watched.
Remember, we talked about this was an episode or idea before where it's like each of us haven't actually tackled,
yeah,
anything.
Our blind spots.
Yeah, I was, yeah, about to say, like, what haven't you seen? But you're right, you haven't seen any.
No,
of these,
like,
yeah,
any YA
Mockingjays
stuff,
or the, yeah,
Twilight, Harry Potter.
No. No, your job is to watch Steven Universe.
Oh, the Steven Universe.
There, okay, you go.
And this will be coming after our Steven Universe episode.
Our Steven Universe
that
episode.
Lewis has no idea that we recorded.
Oh, damn.
Just found out right now.
I just found out right now. Wow.
Is that for public consumption?
I think so. I mean,
are you pretty proud of it?
I'm pretty happy with it.
Go for it.
Blank out the part where you're mentioning your relationship to the people?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, that just made it obvious. Anyways.
Okay. Well,
I'm looking forward to hearing that.
You know, we needed to test out the equipment.
Yes,
true. So, and I'm hoping that everybody's pretty happy where we are right now.
Because Dennis is really happy about where we are.
Looks great, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't seen check out our
Instagram post, which will be live by the time this episode
yeah,
posts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or a week before. Yeah.
Or so. Sure.
Yeah, just about.
Oh, I thought there was something else.
No, that's it. That's
okay, cool. Check out our Instagram. Just check out our Instagram. Thank you. Well, speaking of which, you know, normally this is the time where I tell you that we need to check out our website. I can't, and it hurts me a little bit. It just broke inside my heart. But you can check the twofanboys1casual.podbean.com for all the previous episodes that we have, and also you can check out our what do you call this, pop culture stuff.
Roughly. Social media stuff?
There you go. That's what it's called.
Yeah, on Facebook, you are. We are. You are.
Yar.
You are.
You are. Like,
on Facebook, you are.
Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Just put that in the search bar. It'll take you to our page.
It's a search bar.
Search bar.
Search bar, you are.
Anytime or every time our podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there. Any fun news, memes, and everything else in between will be there too. Not to mention, we also have our private Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual group page where other like-minded nerds and fanboys and fangirls can come together and laugh about stuff and pop.
Which, by the way, Harold, when you post on that thing, what does your name say underneath?
Harold?
Okay, because mine says, it's, for somebody's in this room, it says founding member on there.
Oh, yours, I think it's, oh yeah, it says founding member.
Why is it that mine does not say founding member?
Yours says like...
You bastards.
No. Says Lewis is the only one that says founding member.
Oh, yeah, because... Okay.
Mine
yeah.
is contributor.
Yes.
Mine is A.
That guy.
I didn't even get that guy. It's like... that's all it He's says. A guy.
Well, you need to contribute this.
I don't... It's complicated.
Ask for.
Yeah. But... If you needed to find us anywhere else besides us, both Twitter and Instagram at @2fanboys1casual.
Yeah. So last thing I want to kind of talk about is, you know, please make sure, especially since Podbean is our new site, you know, if you can please click follow, and you know, please share our podcast. You know, we are proud of what we've been doing. We've slowly but surely trying to improve the quality of what we have, not the content, but at least the sound.
That's never gonna happen.
You know, okay. But at the very least, start sharing and spreading that to everybody, just like you know the Hunan province.
Oh Jesus. Are you talking about the Kung Flu? That's right. I just always wanted. Thank you, Rex. Also, remember, you guys, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and on Spotify.
Yeah.
On Spotify, Spotify.
Spotify.
You're forcing it down my mouth. Sorry. But on Spotify, we have, it's now Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual podcast. So before it was just Two Fanboys.
That's why the guy couldn't get it. Okay, got it. Okay, cool. Well, that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.